It is so good to be in worship with you. I have decided to start my my sermon off with confession, if it's okay with you. Some of you are like, pastors don't sin. I'm sorry to burst that bubble, but it's true. Come talk to me afterwards. So my confession is this. I came face to face with the realities of the harshness and the terribleness of this world, and I responded poorly. I drive every morning. Before I come here to work, I drive my daughter to daycare, and there is this moment in the drive when I get on the highway, and it's this entry ramp, and it's one of those entry ramps that kind of stays as part of the highway and then becomes an exit only. You know what I'm talking about? Well, in my experience, there are individuals who think it's a good idea to go that whole way and then right before the exit, enter the pull-off zone and then cut off the first person they can get to. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, some of you are feeling a little guilty, and God forgives you. I promise. There is grace. Well, what I decided to do is I was fed up with it. And I wasn't going to have it, and I saw someone doing this, and so I was right there, right before it kind of turns into the exit, and so I just kind of pulled off and blocked them. I was vindicated. I stood up against the powers of darkness in this world, and it felt so good. Oh, and then they proceeded to get in front of me and cut me off and give me some unpleasant gestures. And I didn't feel so good after that. when I was thinking about the sermon today, and I was thinking about life hack, right? What it means to add things into our lives that help us convenience our lives, right? That's what we're talking about. Adding convenience to our lives through tricks and things like this. What I realized is sometimes, and maybe a lot of times, maybe many of the things that we add to our lives to help convenience ourselves are hurtful to other people. Maybe adding things to our lives that convenience us can mean pain or suffering for somebody else, or at least inconvenience. It is hard to face some of the realities of this because the truth is our world is broken. I don't know about you. Have you ever, maybe you're on Facebook or you've seen it on the news where someone just publicly freaks out, right? They call them public freakouts, and it's just this person who snapped, right? It's sometimes we've seen images of and videos of people in airlines. We've seen, you know, a police officer, all sorts of different scenarios, or just people in a grocery store line. I saw a video of a lady just having a real bad day at the grocery store. And there's something really fascinating about these moments, right? We can't turn away. We can't turn away because it begs the question, like, what went wrong there, right? What happened to bring this person to the point where they just lost all concept and care of what people thought, and they just reacted. And then it's also interesting to watch how the other people react to it, right? Sometimes we see people cheering on violence, and sometimes we see people trying to calm the situation. Sometimes we see people just kind of backing away and out of shock. But when we see these moments, and we see more tragic moments, right? When we experience even harder pains of reality, harder like things like, some of us have experienced the reality of Pearl Harbor. We were there when that happened, and that was a hard and terrible moment in history. A lot of us remember 9/11 and these terrible moments, bombings and shootings and all these things. And it's in these moments that we're brought to something very true and deep about our world. It captivates us because it wakes us up, if not only for a moment, that the world is broken. The world takes advantage of weakness. When I looked up the definition of hacking into a computer, right, it's taking advantage. It's looking for weaknesses in a program or a software or whatever it is to gain access in order to change and disrupt it. Right? If you're talking about hacking a log, when you're splitting a log for firewood, right? When you do is you put this log down, you look for the cracks that already exist, and you aim for those so that it's easily split. instead of the knots that might stop you from accomplishing your goal of splitting the wood. The truth is, the world finds weakness and exploits it. It's a harsh, terrible reality that we live in. And it can be overwhelming. It can be demoralizing. It can call us to anger. It can call us to action. It can call us to reflect. And our scripture today is about facing those things, about facing the reality and the darkness of this world, not ignoring it, not distracting ourselves from it, not hiding from it, but actively, full on, charging at it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not the type of person that likes to rush into battle. Going to war is kind of frightening, right? It's overwhelming. It can be overpowering. But this scripture that we are reading comes at the end of this letter, at this book that Paul is writing. He's in prison, so he knows a couple things about suffering. He knows a couple things about darkness, but he's written this letter, and this is how he ends the letter. It's this call to action is how he ends. And so if we want to understand the ending, we should probably think a little bit about what he said before. You wouldn't watch the last 10 minutes of a movie, right? You wouldn't read the last series in a book, Chronicles of Narnia, Harry Potter. You wouldn't watch the last episode of Friends, right? Because you wouldn't know what's going on. You wouldn't know the characters. You wouldn't be invested, right? So what he's, in the first half of this book, he's spent a lot of time talking about the power of grace and what Jesus accomplished. And I'm going to attempt to briefly summarize that. What he talked about is that as God, after God created this great and perfect and wonderful creation, we as humanity decided we wanted to figure out good and evil for ourselves, and a crack entered that canvas. And since that point, God has been restoring his creation. Instead of destroying, he is restoring. And he chooses a people. He's like, he chooses people who were slaves. He says, out of the oppressed, and it's where I'm going to deliver my message of peace and love. You will be my people. You will be my witness to the world. And he walks with them. And he guides them out of slavery and into the promised land. And we see this up and down, and he establishes covenants, saying, if you do these things, if you are in line with the truth of who I am, what I created this world to be, like, I will bless you. But if you stray away, it's gonna be hard and pain, and the harsh realities of this world will happen. And then we see the people of God kind of go do this back and forth. They walk with God. They walk away from God. And it's this back and forth. And eventually, they just realize that the prophets come and they're like, listen, we have become the conquerors and the exploiters of weaknesses that we should be standing against. Someone has to come and change our hearts. Someone has to come and do something powerful. And we see words about the coming Messiah. And Jesus comes, and through his life, which is important, not just through his death and resurrection, through his life, death, and resurrection, right? We see him completing those covenants, fulfilling the law, speaking words of life, reaching out to the oppressed, reaching out to those people who have been exploited and taken advantage of. And speak words of life and love. And then we see in his death and resurrection the gift, that Spirit of God that can dwell within us, that powerful living Spirit is now with all of us, doing a powerful work of redemption. We are called to be a people who look at the harsh realities of this world, but not let it overwhelm or get to us, but to be people who speak joy and peace and grace. Right before this, he talks about what it means to have grace in a marriage. How husband and wife should put each other over themselves and love them unconditionally. It talks about what it means for children to love and obey your parents, and your parents to love your children. It talks about what it means for a slave and a master to see each other as equals. a powerful word of the practical application of grace. This is our call. This is why we are here, is to speak that love and that grace into the world, into that darkness. And then we see this armor of God. He goes into this armor of God, and it can be a little overwhelming to think about it. All these things, truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, word of God, the Spirit. We could spend all day talking about one of these things, right? It's this overwhelming, but again, this is a call to action. It's a call to reflect. If we want to be people who look at this world and instead of giving in to those overwhelming feelings of despair, and to be people who experience joy and peace and speak that into the world, then it requires something of us. It requires that we be a people who are intentionally thoughtful, not only about the world, but about ourselves and our lives, to reflect on the truth of God. I remember I had the opportunity to be with my wife when she snorkeled for the first time, which was really cool. I had the opportunity to do it a few times in my life. And there's a difference, right? There's a difference between watching maybe a video of someone diving underwater and doing it for yourself. Because what you see what it is, and through the video, you only have one little lens, one little perspective on the vastness that is the ocean. And so I got to see my wife dive in and see all of the things that were seen and be overwhelmed by it, not to be even be able to take it all in. It was so cool. There were things everywhere, fish and colors. We saw a barracuda, freaked us out. We swam the other way. Right? But this vastness, and it was a moment in which you just take in. And the truth is this is an ocean. This is the living word of God. This is an ocean. You will not see it all. Amen? That's okay. It's okay to be overwhelmed. Don't let that overwhelming feeling give in despair, but let that turn into wonder. Wonder. There are so much truth and love in this book and things for me to experience in this world. It's endless. It's so cool. And so I just kind of want to just, I'm going to read through these things real quick. And so I'd like you to take a minute. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you need to look at the stained glass and do that, whatever you need to do to just focus, I'm just going to read through some of these and just give a little brief intro to a moment. And I just want you to just see what hits you. Okay? Sound good? Truth. The truth that God created this world beautiful, that he created us amazing, gifted, and loved, that this world is called to be in harmony with God and his creation. Righteousness, pursuing a life in which we are in harmony and in deep relationship with our God. And that would flow into our being, that we might live in right relationship with each other. The gospel of peace. The truth is that we are not a people of shame and guilt, but that Jesus came that we might have peace and harmony, that those things that we hold on to, those guilt things, those things of shame that we hold on to, he is reaching out a hand of love and grace, willing to take those off and show us a way of peaceful living. No longer in regret, but anticipation and in joy. Faith, rooting our lives in a deep trust of God's word and the listening to his Spirit instead of the world's. Finding ways that we might read scripture and live that out and letting it teach us more and more about how God has called us to live and the truth of his creation. Salvation, accepting that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves, but that a God chose to love instead of destroy, to heal. The word of God. The word of God a revelation of who he is to us, a powerful proclamation of who he is and what he created us to be, a living word that breathes life and power into our lives, that transforms this world, that turns a world that says slavery is okay into a world that says we cannot stand for this oppression. The Spirit of the living God surrounds us in everything, in all of who we are and all that we see in this world. The Spirit is enrapturing, calling it back into love and grace in every moment. We can turn to that Spirit to be in touch with the truth of this world. These are the things reflected in the armor of God. These are just a taste of the realities and the beauty of what it means to know our great God and to be a part of his kingdom here on earth. And the truth is I can get up here and I can talk about these things. And in fact, it's good for people to come and to share, to encourage and guide us in our walk with Scripture and the Holy Spirit and each other. This is important. But the depths of the ocean of who God is lays in your decision to reflect and think about your life, about the Word of God, about what it means for you. I can only give you a view of the ocean. God is waiting for you to dive in. It's when we dive in, it's when we reflect that we are brought not only to understandings of how the world might have fallen short, but ways in which we speak life into those places. Even non-Christians know the world is messed up. We can look at history as evidence. In the early 1900s, we thought technology was going to bring us to the perfect society, and then we had two world wars. We then thought we could theory craft the best society, and then we started pointing nukes at each other. In the 60s, we thought free love and individual truth would bring us to peace and understanding, and then we realized that living our own truths tend to affect the people around us. That selfishness does not lead to peace. And in the internet age of technology, where communication technology is ramped up, we thought, right, that this world would be brought to a deeper understanding where we could share our knowledge. We could reach beyond what we ever did before, but instead we find ourselves angry and not knowing what to trust, what to believe. Depression is on the rise. The world knows that the world is broken. And they do everything they can to distract themselves. But as we reflect, as we dig in, as we dive into the ocean of truth that is God, we are not faced with a depressing view of the world, but a view of love and peace and joy and grace and redemption. And it brings us to joy. It brings us to love. And we have our own walks of ups and downs. We have our own moments of mountaintops and valleys. We are human. But God does not call us to face the brokenness of this world with anger, but with grace. It can be easy to reflect, but the truth is reflection must turn to action, right? It has to be rooted in the practical question of what does it mean to love God and my neighbor at work? What does it mean to do it in my house? What does it mean to do it with my fellow Christians, with my employees, with my friends, with the stranger on the street? The challenge is to go out, to march out into the world equipped with truth, looking to live it out. Now, even that can lead us to shame, right? We can say, well, I am not righteous enough. I've tried to live the best life and I just keep failing. And it's just, it's just better for me just to kind of do my thing and move on and watch Netflix and distract myself. But we as Christians recognize that we are on a journey and that it takes a step at a time. I love climbing things, which is really random. I'm not a really avid climber or a rock climber or anything, but as a kid, I was just always climbing onto stuff. I remember I climbed this tree next to the battleship Texas, and I quickly found out that ants also have anthills in trees. it's a surprise for me. But the truth is I love climbing and I like going off the path. I've confessed it before. There's like this inner rebel in me. I want to go into the wilderness, man. I just want to see what's off the path, what other people don't see. I want to dive in. And I love it because when you're climbing, when you're walking up the mountain or whatever, when you're going off the path, the truth is you have to pay attention to your steps. Right? It's not a well-worn path. It's not a place where a whole bunch of people have gone before. It's important, right, to watch where you're going. And even when you're walking on a trail, it's important to watch you, to step over that route, to step onto that, to not step on that slippery place, right? It's about taking one step at a time, looking, every so often looking where you are, and then continuing to focus on where you're going. We, as Christians, have to take joy in the small victories. Right? Take joy in the ways that that little moment you stepped out and you trusted in God and you did it. Take that. Let that encourage you. Don't think about, God didn't call you to think about your shame and the ways you didn't match. He called you up to know you were loved, to say, I've forgiven that. Continue to take steps forward. Take joy in those small victories. And before you know it, you will reach some mountaintops. You will find some place. And the truth is that other people have gone before us. We're not alone. In Ephesians, it tells us not to just do this on our own, but that we're a part of a community, that we walk together. We encourage each other. We share those joys. We see that. And this is the most important thing. We recognize it in other people. Walk up and point it out to them, saying, I just want you to know that I saw this, and I think God was really working in you, or he really works in you in my life. Sharing these things. I wouldn't be here today if people haven't shared with me the ways in which God had used me in their life. It's not selfish. They're just saying, hey, God's working in you. You're digging into it. You're in the ocean. Keep going. We're called to live that out together. This overwhelming task becomes so much simpler when we focus on the reality that Jesus called us just to live our daily lives 1 minute at a time, asking the question, how can we love God and others in what I'm doing? And before you know it, our world is transformed. We don't look at the world with the anger and the bleakness before. It seems to begin to wash away. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing. This week, God decided he wanted to test me after I had sinned. And so every day someone did that thing that they cut me off every day, sometimes twice a day. This is not a normal thing for me. It happens every so often. Every day someone did this to me. And I went, and I had started it off by cutting that person off and being vindicated, but I felt angry afterwards. It didn't make me feel great. And I ended my week just leaving a car gap in front of me in traffic. And whoever wants to get in can get in. And can I tell you, my life has been so much more peaceful at that morning time. It has been a gift. Just little things. Ask the question. Sometimes we feel like God's gonna, in 2 seconds, lead us to this grand moment of huge sacrifice. But God is a God of walking with us on the journey. It's in the little things that he leads us to the bigger things. And when we come to those, they won't even seem like a big deal anymore because we know God's right there with us. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? God, we are so thankful for the ways in which you reveal your truth, that you bring us to understandings of righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, word of God, the spirit God. We are so thankful for the depths and the oceans that is the reality of your creation and who you are. Lord, as we gather, Lord, as we hear your call to face this world, Lord, we understand that it is rooted in peace and in love. God, we are so thankful for that grace that we can march with peace, knowing that you are right there with us the whole time. God, we come to you today. We pray that you would reach us now, that we might be empowered by your Spirit to go throughout our week and find the little ways in which you are calling us forward. God, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.